Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Central Banking 101 by Joseph J. Wang is a nonfiction guide to how modern central banking actually works, with special emphasis on the Federal Reserve, money market plumbing, and the policy tools that shape liquidity, interest rates, and financial stability. Wang writes from the perspective of a former trader at the New York Fed's open market desk, which gives the book an insider orientation that is uncommon in introductory economics books. Rather than treating central banking as an abstract, academic subject, it explains how reserves, open market operations, balance sheet policy, repo lending, and currency swap facilities function in practice. The book also places these mechanisms in the broader context of dollar funding, commercial banking, and global financial markets. Its purpose is to make an opaque system legible to readers who want to understand how central banks transmit policy through markets and institutions, and why those actions can have immediate effects on asset prices, credit conditions, and inflation. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the Federal Reserve as an operational market actor, not just a policy committee. A major contribution of the book is its treatment of the Fed as an institution that acts through concrete market operations, not merely through speeches or rate decisions. Wang emphasizes the role of the open market desk, where policy is implemented through the purchase and sale of securities, reserve management, and direct interaction with financial counterparties. This perspective matters because it shifts attention from the public image of central banking to the machinery that actually moves liquidity through the system. Readers learn why the central bank's balance sheet is not a passive record but an active policy instrument. The book shows that monetary policy depends on execution. The same policy objective can produce different results depending on how reserves are supplied, how markets price funding, and how institutions respond, by focusing on operations rather than slogans. Wang helps explain why central banking is often better understood as a balance sheet process than as a simple interest rate setting exercise. Secondly, how money and liquidity are created through banks, reserves, and treasury operations. The book spends significant effort clarifying how money is created and circulated across commercial banks, the central bank, and government finance. Instead of presenting money as a fixed quantity issued from a single source, Wang explains the layered structure of the monetary system, where bank deposits, reserves, and government liabilities interact. This is important because many misunderstandings about inflation and credit growth come from confusing different kinds of money and different balance sheets. The book traces how commercial banks expand credit, how reserve demand affects interbank behavior, and how government borrowing and central bank actions shape system-wide liquidity. Wang's approach is practical rather than purely theoretical. He connects these ideas to the real constraints that banks face in funding, settlement, and regulatory compliance. The result is a clearer picture of why liquidity can tighten even when headline rates look stable, and why central bank action is often designed to stabilize the plumbing of the financial system before broader economic effects become visible. Thirdly, the euro-dollar system and the global reach of the dollar. Another central theme is the euro-dollar system, which Wang uses to show that the dollar operates far beyond the formal boundaries of the United States. The book explains how offshore dollar lending and global wholesale funding markets extend the influence of the U.S. financial system into international trade, banking, and capital markets. This matters because central banking cannot be understood only in domestic terms when so much dollar credit is created and exchanged outside U.S. bank balance sheets. Wang's treatment makes clear that global access to dollars can tighten or loosen conditions across countries, even without a change in the Fed funds rate. By connecting offshore dollar funding to central bank policy, he shows why global markets can react sharply to funding stress, currency moves, and shifts in reserve availability. The chapter-level value here is conceptual. It broadens the reader's frame from national monetary policy to an international dollar system in which the Fed remains the key reference point, even when the transactions occur well beyond its direct jurisdiction. Fourthly, balance sheet policy, quantitative easing, and emergency backstops. The book devotes substantial attention to the Fed's modern toolkit, especially balance sheet expansion, quantitative easing, repo operations, and foreign exchange swap lines. Wang presents these measures as responses to disruptions in funding markets and as mechanisms for restoring market function when conventional rate policy is insufficient. His insider background helps explain why these tools are not exceptional side notes, but core parts of contemporary central banking. The book also makes clear that large-scale asset purchases affect more than government borrowing costs. They alter reserve conditions, support market liquidity, and can influence risk appetite across asset classes. By discussing emergency lending and backstop facilities, Wang illustrates how the central bank acts as a stabilizer of the monetary system during stress. This section is especially useful because it ties crisis management to ordinary operational policy, showing that the same institutional capacities used in calm periods can be scaled up when markets seize. It frames central banking as continuous system management rather than occasional intervention. Lastly, the political and civil liberties debate around digital money and central power, Wang does not present central banking as a neutral technical subject alone. He also treats it as a source of major political consequences. One of the most striking aspects of the book is its skepticism toward central bank digital currencies, which he portrays as a profound expansion of state power over money. Even without adopting the most forceful language, the book clearly raises the issue of how digital payment systems could alter privacy, bank intermediation, and the relationship between citizens and monetary authority. This is analytically important because it broadens central banking from a discussion of economic stabilization to a discussion of institutional control and financial freedom. The book's treatment of CBDCs fits its larger pattern. Every technical tool has political implications because it changes who can access money, how it is monitored, and how policy is transmitted. Readers are encouraged to see that central banking is never just about efficiency. It is also about governance, discretion, and the distribution of power inside the financial system. In conclusion, Central Banking 101 is best suited for readers who want a serious explanation of how modern monetary systems operate, especially those interested in the Federal Reserve, dollar funding, market plumbing, and crisis response. It is useful for finance professionals, students of economics, market participants, and general readers who want more than a textbook definition of central banking. The main benefit of the book is that it connects policy theory to operational reality, showing how reserves, balance sheets, repo markets, and swap lines affect actual financial conditions. That makes it intellectually valuable, even when it is demanding. What sets it apart from many books in the same category is the author's direct experience on the Fed's open market desk. Instead of presenting central banking as an abstract model or a policy debate, Wang explains it as a functioning system with institutional constraints and market consequences. Readers who work through it gain a stronger understanding of why central bank actions can move markets so quickly, why liquidity matters as much as interest rates, and why the dollar system has global reach. It is a compact but unusually practical guide to the hidden architecture of modern finance. If you would like to support Joseph Wang, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.